this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
I'm a shouty man, and you're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast. Okay?
Hi, I'm Wyatt Wendells from Planet Rock Radio, and this is the Hotspurs Podcast.
Hi, this is Daniel Wynn. Welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast. I'm the Spurs commentator for Spurs TV and also trustee of the Tottenham Tribute Trust.
Hi, I'm the Spurs Pod, and here's a quick message from me to you. Click on iTunes, subscribe to the Hotspurs Podcast, and then just leave a nice review. You're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
When it comes to playing football, everybody knows Tottenham's got a style of their own.
Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast. It is Thursday, the 28th of March, 2013. I'm Steve, I'm in Essex. We have got Colin, he's in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Colin?
Yeah, doing well, mate. I think the international break has calmed us all down, and we're raring to go again to get back into this, into these last eight games and get Spurs up into the top four and win the UEFA Cup.
Well, I don't know about calm, just down, bored me to tears. That's what he's done for me.
Well, it bored me as well, but here, isn't it? I think that we said in the last show, a couple of week breaks maybe do us good. I noticed that Aaron Lennon and Michael Dawson were back in training today, so
yeah,
all things looking good again.
That's good. Well, look, listen, this is a fan special. We're going to have some fans of the show, Tottenham, massive Tottenham fans, who have kindly donated to my Virgin Money Giving page. I'm doing the marathon in a couple of weeks, so, as regular listeners know. They've kindly donated some money and want to be on the show, so let's get going. This guy is called Edward Santelli. We're going to give him a ring. Hello, is that Ed?
Yes, hello there.
Hello, Ed. How you doing?
How are you?
My name's Steve. I am the chairman of the Hotspurs Podcast.
Very good.
We've got joint chairman Colin here as well.
That's an important title, Steve. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. How are you doing?
Who else is with you today? Colin? Yeah.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi. Nice to speak with you both. Thanks
yeah.
For,
nice
thanks
to
for calling.
You.
Thanks for calling the cold Northeast here.
Where are you, Edward?
I'm in, it's upstate New York, sort of southern New York on the Pennsylvania border. So,
okay.
It's hard to explain, I guess. Syracuse is right in the middle of the state. We're about an hour south. So,
yeah.
it's a bit chilly. It's probably like you're northeast.
Well, listen,
I'm sure.
It's not the northeast. It's the whole of the UK at the moment. We are absolutely freezing, and we have been since about October.
We've been sending you all the cold weather. It's been pretty chilly here as well. So,
but you're used to it. We're not used to it. By about late February, the sun comes, that yellow thing in the sky comes out, and everyone starts putting on their Spurs shirts and nothing else. And you know, it starts getting nice again, but not yet, unfortunately.
At least you guys wear your shirts, unlike the Tynesiders taking their shirts off up there. That's kind of scary to watch, I have to say.
There you go. Look, I told you he knows about football. You were worried there, Colin.
It gets a little crazy. Yeah. No sunglasses. We noticed that about the English Premier or the Barclays Premier League. It doesn't seem like a lot of sunglasses in the crowd there.
You try and wear a pair of sunglasses to a football match and get out alive. That's all I'll say. Edward, you don't wear sunglasses to a football match, mate.
You're in trouble, eh? You wear that.
Maybe Martin Heiser would wear a pair of sunglasses to a football match, but I wouldn't dare. Now, Ed, how
yes,
long have you supported Spurs for?
Well, you know, I've been following the Spurs probably since about 2008, 2009 is when I first became interested in in the EPL or, you know, Barclays Premier League, I guess, to be more accurate. That's when I really started following them. I had met a fellow on a cruise, like a Disney cruise or something, and he was a Scouser. He was a Liverpool fan and was blabbering on about you know, the Champions League and,
yeah,
and all these other things, which to me were completely foreign. And I said to my son at the time, we've got to sort of investigate this a little bit. So we came home and started to get involved. And I had a very good friend who's a Gooner, who's an Arsenal fan, been an Arsenal supporter for a long time. And I had to hear him jabber on about the Invincibles and all this other nonsense. So in my mind, the most reasonable thing was to support the anti-Gooner, or the better club, the only club in North London, if you will, the Glory Club. Isn't that the way it works? So we did. So we did a little bit of investigating and reading, et cetera, about the history, and that's when we decided to support Tottenham and to get involved in following it. It became a little bit disenfranchised with baseball and some of the other sports, college basketball and pro basketball. Excuse me. So it really filled the void of having things to watch and a team to follow. So that's really where how we got there. And it's an illness, as you two know. I mean, you guys were probably bred with it, but I was sort of indoctrinated into it.
And how'd you get on watching the games? What'd you do?
Well, initially it was very difficult. I mean, without Fox Soccer Channel and Fox Plus and ESPN, which over the past approximately 3 years to 4 years have really picked up many games, it was much harder early on. You just pick up snippets in the Wall Street Journal, or maybe get onto one of these sketchy internet feeds, you know, one of these Turkish or European internet feeds, which, you know, you get about 45 flash pop-ups of all sorts of things that you don't need on your computer. But and now I believe, I mean, speaking to some folks in the UK, I think we can see maybe more games even than you guys can to some extent.
We can definitely see
almost every game.
For some reason, in England, you cannot see a game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
It's just you're not allowed to. They just say, you know, one day hopefully it will change, and you know you can watch whatever team you want. You know, I guess I think it's not to stop people going to Premiership games, but I think it might be to encourage people to go to their local side on a Saturday.
Well,
To which I would say, well, why don't you just switch all local, you know, keep the Premiership on a Saturday and put all the other games on a Sunday. Then you can go and watch your Spurs on a Saturday or your Man United on a Saturday, and then go and watch your local club on a Sunday, something like that. Work something out. But, it's this whole Saturday 3 o'clock, you know, that you cannot watch a game, which they just haven't changed. But of course, all over the world, you can watch them, and there's now pubs opening there's pubs that show live games now. There's one just up the road from me. I don't know how they get away with it, but you know, it's a normal pub, and they show games on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. In fact, they show all the games on loads of different screens. It's really weird. We've got to crack on because we've got a few other people we want to call, but it's great to talk to you. Have you got a favorite player?
Well, I tell you, I think my favorite player is probably a lot of people's favorite player, Sandro, who unfortunately is on the shelf for a few weeks, probably months. It depends on, I guess he had surgery, right? He had an ACL repair, which he had last year. So hopefully he comes back as strong and as playing as well as he has been. I mean, he's been a real revelation and a rock in the middle, and I think we need that. I think we need that strength.
Well,
he's kind of like my Dave McKay.
He's
my Dave McKay, in my opinion. You know, we are missing him. Yeah, we're missing that. We're missing that toughness, and I think that's what the Gooners miss. The column like says a different name for him, but I think that's what they've missed. They don't have anything since Vieira left.
It's so upsetting today to see that Wilshere is going to be out for a few more weeks, and the RB, who they really rate over there, he's going to be out for a few weeks as well. So that's really upsetting.
It's great they're both fragile flowers, both of those guys. They'll never finish the full. Finish a full one.
Have you got a best goal, Edward?
Best goal? Well, of course, Sandro's goal against Chelsea.
Yeah.
His first goal in the EPL, that the cracker, as you would call it, into the top 90 against the Czech, which then we ultimately were kind of hosed, I think, in that game with the non-goal, and then the offside goal.
I think that was the game where afterwards they said, "Oh, brilliant for Lampard, you know, justice for the over the line thing." And all Spurs fans were going, "Hang on a minute, where's that justice?"
Yeah. That was the Germany game. That wasn't against the Spurs, right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Thanks for that. Yeah, lovely.
Can I just quickly ask you as well, Edward, how you heard about the Hotspurs podcast? How you got to hear about us?
Well, the thing is, I follow a bunch of the other podcasts. You know, I follow a bunch of the other podcasts, the Fighting Cock and the various other podcasts. Yeah. And the Spurs show, et cetera. And I noticed that it had been mentioned on Twitter and a couple. I'm not a Facebook guy. I do the Twitter thing intermittently or minimally, if you will. I let the wife do Facebook. But that's where I noticed it. And you guys do a great job. It's been a real nice addition to a lineup of a number of very good podcasts. But I really enjoy yours.
I think we're all different, Edward. Essentially, I think the Spurs show is very professional. They've got authors and comedians and people who are in show business that go on that. You've got the Fighting Cock, which is the younger guys who, of course, they diversify, they go on to different subjects and what have you. And if you stick with it, you know, you get to know their characters and, you know, who took sense and, you know, it gets quite funny and what have you. But me and Cole are a little bit older. I mean, I think Cole's older than me, obviously. So I represent the young.
But you guys are probably more my contemporaries, and I'm not 50 yet, but I'm getting there, and that's why I tell you, Steve, I am impressed that you're running the marathon. Good luck to you with that one. I hope you're raising lots of cash and can finish in one piece, if you will.
That's the only reason I'm doing it, mate. Because if I didn't do it, I'd be about 25 stone. Because I still eat my burgers, my chicken wings, and drink my beer. So, I
told you how to make the chicken wings. And if you need some official upstate New York chicken wing sauce, shoot me your address, and I will get it FedExed over to you. Listen, and then you'll be able to make your own chicken wings. As long as you don't use Hungarian horse feed or something instead, I think you're all set.
We do get the Franks over here, so we've discovered that, and that is great stuff. Let's ask one more question. I mean, you know, we've got a couple of Americans in the side. What are your views on Dempsey and Brad Friedel?
Well, I tell you, Friedel was a revelation to me because when he came from Villa, I think, I wasn't 100% sold on him. He's not the youngest cat going, but, you know, goalies sometimes can play till they can be quite old and be effective. And I think Friedel put in some very serviceable games for us. I think he was fantastic. I think he got a little tired at the end of last year. He gave up a couple of sketchy goals, QPR, but I don't think he's quite as effective playing the high trap type of game that AVB wants to play. I noticed when he's in against Leeds and when he played against Inter Milan, that high line is not optimum for Friedel. He just doesn't sweep like Loris does.
Yeah.
And Dempsey, I'm not sure Dempsey has been played where he's most useful or most used to playing. Let's put it that way. I mean, even if you watch him with the American national team, he likes to play in the middle of the park behind a striker and play in that support role. And I mean, he's very good at getting to the rebounds, and he's good at getting his head on the ball, et cetera. And I don't know that AVB's gotten him in that position yet. Will he have a role? It's hard to know. You know, if Holtby fills that role, he may not play much. So Dempsey scored some important goals. He scored some, deflections, et cetera, that people give him stick about. But I think he's that type of player. I don't think he's ever going to be a Bale or someone who's going to score these beautiful goals.
Do people know who he is in America?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do people know who he is in America?
He is, he's not an upper level or upper tier athlete. I mean, he gets mentioned on ESPN, but I suspect that if you ask the typical American sports fan, they wouldn't know who he is. They might think he's a NASCAR driver.
If he walked down the street, no one would know who he was.
I think if he walked down the street, I don't think anybody would, maybe notice him. They may be a little bit afraid of him. He looks a bit like a gangster. So I think they'd stay away from him, number one.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd know him, which is unfortunate.
Do you know what I love about that? Is that, you know, you take your top American footballer, or maybe not your top one, but like your fifth or sixth most popular American footballer or basketball player or baseball player.
Right.
So you actually just bring your number one baseball player, walk them down Oxford Street. No one would know who the bloody hell they were.
He'd have no idea. So, hey, can I ask you guys one thing quickly? What is the feeling over there about the Olympic Stadium and the West Ham deal? Can you give me your opinion on that?
Controversial, Edward.
I suspect it is. Is it a good deal or a bad deal? That's the question. In my opinion, it looks like a really great deal if you have the fans to fill the stadium.
I think really what most of us are probably looking at the minute is the sort of, we're all laughing at them, thinking about how far they're going to be away from the actual pitch. You know, so I think the Spurs fans are, you know, we're having our fun with that. But I think when reality kicks in and they move into the stadium, and I heard that possibly it's only going to be 54,000 seats, you know, it's probably going to be a lot more compact than what we all probably thought it was going to be. And there might be a wee bit of jealousy maybe once they get in, you know, once reality hits. But I think when you see, you know, I was at White Hart Lane there for the Arsenal game, and you start to see the work that's gone on and the pictures of the new stadium that we're going to build. And to be honest with you, I don't think the one at the Olympic Stadium will be anywhere near as good. So, you know, in the long run, I think we've got the best deal.
Yeah, and that was, I have to tell you, that was another impetus for me, you know, getting involved with the Spurs. I've not been to White Hart Lane, but I sort of love the idea of that stadium, just the way it is, sort of the old style, the old school feel. And I think next year I'm going to make a trip over, because I've been badgering the wife for about 3 years now, and I think I'm going to make a sort of a beeline in and out. We don't have quite the sort of those cheap Euro, you know, flights, but I certainly think, I have a couple of friends who are unfortunately Chelsea fans who want to go as well, so I think we may try and coordinate a trip in for that. But I'm glad to hear your comments about the Olympic Stadium. I know that Spurs had looked at that at one point, and I think you're right, Kyle. I think they're gonna renovate the Olympic Stadium so that but they're still gonna have tracks. They're still gonna have track meets or athletics or what have you. So I was listening to your friend Adrian Durham there, and he was jabbering on about, you know, how great a deal it was and how bad it was for Leighton Orient and some of these other clubs. I was curious about your opinion.
I'm gonna take the fifth on that. we'll talk about it another time. But listen, Edward, thanks ever so much again for contributing to the marathon page there for me. And we'll definitely talk to you again. And when you come to Spurs, obviously, you know, we'll hook up, we'll have a beer. And, you know, it'll be great times. But, you know, let's keep in touch, and it's been great to speak to you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure to speak with you as well, and keep up the good work with the pod. It's great, and hope to meet you guys at the Bell and Hare or what have you, some of the pubs that are around the stadium. So. Have a good night. Have a good weekend.
Thanks ever so much.
Same to you. Good to chat, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Oh, I'll tell you what, Cole, these guests are getting better and better, aren't they?
They are fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
They know they're Spurs.
They definitely do.
Right, let's call Jason McGovern. Right, Cole, we got Jason now. Jason, how you doing?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. A bit early in the morning here, 5 o'clock, but we'll get through.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Not too bad, Cole. And you?
Yeah, doing good, mate. It's great to talk to you at last.
I hope you're all enjoying the cold back there.
Oh, yeah. What's it like out there in Thailand?
Well, it's the same. It's 37 degrees here as well.
Lucky you.
So have you been up all night, or you just woken up?
No. Set the alarm to get up. But, you know, you get so used to doing it for the other night games and things. So, you know, they're always at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So, you know, you get used to it. Not too bad.
And Jason, I was speaking to somebody else about watching games out there and what have you, Are you, do you have a little contingent of a few mates that you get together with, or is it, genuinely just you in your Spurs shirt in a bar, or do you watch it at home, or how do you watch the games?
Different ways. You know, sometimes you'll go downtown, if you like, to more the tourist areas, so you'll have the English contingent, if you like, and obviously Paul Teacher will come down as well, so you might have a dozen or so of us in a bar downtown or whatever, and then sometimes I'll watch it with the Thai supporters club, more in a Thai area, where you'll get 20, 30, you know, locals, if you like, and they're as passionate as your English fans, and you've just had about a dozen of them go over to England. They were there for the Fulham game.
Yeah,
all got tickets and all the ground tour and all of that. So, and they all, you know, they genuinely know, unlike most of the Man United and Liverpool fans out here, the lot out here will talk about the history of the club, and they'll know, you know, players from years gone by and reserve team players and things like that. So, they're very good.
This guy we just had on, Ed Santelli, I said, when did you support Spurs? And he said 2008. So we was like, all right, right, okay. So we started talking about Sandro and what have you. And he said he thinks he's the our Dave Mackay. It was like, whoa, brilliant, great knowledge. That is so impressive.
That's my old man's favourite player, I think, Dave Mackay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Who's your favourite player of all time?
I know his favourite player, Abby Bayor.
Diego Maradona is my favourite Spurs player. Yeah. It's just a shame it was only for one game.
Were you
just
there that night?
Yeah.
What was it like?
So, it was just before the 86 World Cup, wasn't it? So to see Maradona, which for me is still the best player I've seen. I know, you know, people talk about Messi, but Maradona for me will always be the best one. And you know, to see him and Hoddle, how you could see the football brains, because they obviously never trained or anything together, and yet the two of them could just pass to each other wherever they were on the field without looking. Yeah. Yeah. You just thought they're on a totally different wavelength to everyone else. So I can't believe Mark Falcone, I saw Maradona.
1990, the old man got tickets to the final of the World Cup, because basically he knew a guy who could get tickets. And when we were in the semi-final against Germany, this guy said, right, I've got you four tickets. You can have them now, or you can have them after England get to the final and pay treble or whatever. And he said, no, we'll take a chance. Obviously, we didn't get through, but we did get to go to, you know, Rome and everything. And I'll never forget watching Maradona. And what he did in the warm-up was he pinged the ball up, like just pinged it up, like 50 yards in the air, came straight back down, booted it straight back in the air on the volley, 50 yards, came down, booted it again, 50 yards in the air. And he just did it about 10 times. And it was like you know what I mean, like the highest keepy uppies you can ever think of. But it was just the greatest skill I've ever seen anybody ever do. And like you say, like, what an amazing player. And, you know, and there's a great picture of him in a Spurs shirt. And he was going to come to us, you know. I'm convinced that before he got done for that drugs thing in 94, Ozzy Ardiles was lining him up.
Yeah, it would have just been fantastic, wouldn't it, to have seen him there. But
yeah.
Wonderful player, wonderful player.
Who's your favourite player of all time, Jason? Sorry. Come on.
Probably I would go with Hoddle.
Best overall. Goal?
Oh, best goal. Gazza's free kick in 1991.
Yeah. Best match?
That's what sticks in mind. Best match. Oh. The 5-1 Arsenal semi-final.
Probably. Were you there that one?
That's one that I watched out here.
Yeah.
That's one that I watched out here. But fortunately, for the first 4 or 5 years I lived here, invariably when I was back, because I always come back twice a year, it was always around the October dates and the April dates where we always had Arsenal. So, you know, I mean, I didn't see the derby a couple of weeks ago, but I've seen, I think, four of the six ones at home, and I think I've been twice to the Emirates while I've been back there, so it's not too bad. So I was there for four.
And out there, when you're in a bar watching, are there, what's the sort of split? Is it 50-50 or more Arsenal? Or?
No, where we go will be pretty much 90% Tottenham. So, but you tend deliberately to go to bars where there's no gooners here.
All right.
So you just avoid them. You just avoid them. So, and then, you know, come the end of the game, then you might, if you've won, try and find which bar they're in and then go and drink it there afterwards and have a good laugh that way. But while the game's on, no. Just home end and away end as two ends of the street type of thing.
Right, Carl, ask a question, and I've got one more question to ask before Jason goes.
Okay, obviously, Jason, out there as well, you have your Spurs shop. I think anybody that listens to this show about it, you know, so is it going well for you out there? And obviously, there must be a lot of Spurs fans.
Yeah, I mean, we've done probably £10,000 of business in a year.
Brilliant.
Which is, you know, all official stuff as well. So yeah. It's good. But, you know, Tottenham don't help themselves. They don't make any effort. They don't reply to any emails. They don't,
right.
They don't want to give any like 10% discount to you for loyalty business or volume of business or anything. So, you know, you do a lot more because obviously cost of living here, you know, a shirt that costs 20 quid in England, which isn't necessarily expensive to you and me, you know, when the average tyre earns £150 a month, a t-shirt at 20 quid is a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of
money.
So, you know, but £10,000 is probably equivalent to doing 100 grand in the UK. A year,
yeah.
So
yeah,
and it's nearly all to ties. It's nearly all to the locals.
Yeah,
so
it's absolutely good. Fantastic what you're doing, and I love, you know, on Facebook and obviously the banter with you, and obviously you know Paul's out there, Paul Teacher, who I've met a couple of times, and you know, definitely send our regards to Paul.
But
it's brilliant, you know, what you're doing, and I just love the thought, you know, like I always loved coming over because I'm from Belfast. And you know, you meet these guys from London and they can't believe there's some mad Irish guy that supports Spurs and, you know, has got a tattoo of a Spurs on his arm and, you know, I'm absolutely mad about them. But, you know, obviously these guys are out in Thailand and as you say, to see the Thai Spurs fans coming the whole way over.
I think over the country there's 3,000 registered members now of Spurs Thailand, registered, you know, full members, if you like. So, and they have a couple of meetings a year where you'll meet up with about 300 or 400 people and, you know, they'll take over a big sports complex type of thing. They'll have five aside during the day and then all settle down to watch the game. So, of which, and probably, you know, of the 300 or 400 there'll only be 4 or 5 foreigners there. The rest will all be locals. But no, it's good. It's
brilliant. Brilliant.
Right, Jace, we got Swansea on Saturday.
Yep.
Everyone's fit. Does Adi Bayor start?
No. Never.
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 So you got Defoe up front.
Or comments.
Got Defoe up front, obviously.
Yep.
What, you got someone with him or five in midfield?
You'll probably go 4-5-1. I mean, in a way, my ideal would always be 4-4-2, but Swansea keep the ball so well, don't they? They'll probably go with 4-5. It's the question is who plays as in theory your number 10? Do they go with Dempsey? Do they go with, you know, Holtby? I don't know what seems to have happened to Holtby lately. You know, he seems to have completely gone out of favour. Whether they play with Sigurdsson there, whether they play with Bell there, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. But it's a massive game for us, this weekend.
It is. Fulham was awful because when you looked at the fixtures left, you thought we're going to need 5 or 6 wins. And you thought Fulham at home, Southampton at home, Sunderland at home. When you looked at the list of fixtures, they got to be 3 of the 6, if you like, win. And so to have ended up losing that was a crazy game. Crazy game.
Well, how many times have we seen it?
Yeah. I know. And then you look at the points earlier in the season, don't you? And you think we lost at home to Wigan and, you know, the drop points at home to Norwich. But then every team says that, don't they? Yeah. You know, every team will say, well, we lost to them. And I mean, even Man United are saying, well, we conceded a goal in the last minute at Tottenham and we lost at home to Tottenham.
Yeah.
So, you know, every team will say that over the course of the season. So,
last season, it got right down to the last couple of games, actually, because we didn't throw it away with 10 games to go. Because actually Arsenal kind of threw it away because they lost at home to Wigan. And then we were like, right, here we go. Aston Villa away. Perfect game to get the points. Danny Rose got sent off in the first half. And we made some soppy substitutions and drew the game 1-1.
You just couldn't believe it, could you, that day?
It's just, you just think that Spurs fans, and me included, unfortunately, want the season to be over by Christmas. you know. But unfortunately, it's not. We've got 7 or 8 games to go, and you know we'll be sitting here in a month's time saying what's going to happen, what's going to happen. You know, unfortunately, we won't know whether Spurs are in the Champions League until the last game of the season, and that's the way it should be. That's the way football is, keeps us so excited. And, you know, apart from if you're a Man United fan where it's all sewn up, everyone else is up in the air, which is, you know, what makes it great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. At least it's this year we haven't got to worry about the Champions League going against us. You know, that's the one thing. We do at least know now that fourth gets into it, a playoff. But we want third. You know, I think for us we really need third, as crazy as it sounds at the start of a season. You know, top four is now a playoff. Third puts you straight in the group stage, and I think then you can go and do your summer shopping. On, you know, as soon as the season finishes, you can say we are guaranteed Champions League group stage football, and I think even that helps. Whereas if you're in the playoff, one or two of those top players are thinking, yeah, but you're not quite in there yet. And if I sign for a 4-year contract and you lose the playoff, I might never be in it again. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a definite advantage to for us as a club to be third. You know, Chelsea can finish fourth, and nobody would not go there because they were only in the playoff stage. But for us, I think it's really important to get that third spot.
Yeah, brilliant.
Right, Jace, brilliant. When are you back over again?
Hopefully towards the end of April, hopefully for the Southampton home game and probably the Man City home game, and fingers crossed.
If you can't get a ticket for those, let me know, yeah?
Yeah, no, I'll let you know, mate. Okay.
All right. Cheers, buddy.
Good to talk to you, boys.
Take care. Cheers, Jace. Cheers, mate.
All the best. Bye.
Hello.
Hello, is that Hayden?
It is. Hi, mate.
How you doing? Steve on the Hotspurs podcast. You all right?
I am, yeah, not too bad. How's things?
Yeah, good. We're straight into it, by the way. We are recording.
Go on, okay then.
Hi, Hayden. Hi, Hayden. How you doing, mate?
Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good.
Right, I'm going to let you two chat for a minute. I'm just going to go and get a beer.
Lucky you, Steve. Steve's meant to be doing the marathon, Hayden, and he's on these beers.
Oh, right, yeah. How's he doing? Well, I was about to ask how's he doing, but if he's left the room, that's a bit of a redundant question, isn't it?
That is. Oh, we'll soon check with him. Obviously, we've had a few guys on there. We've had a guy from America, a guy in Thailand as well. Whereabouts are you based in England, Hayden?
It's near Cambridge, so not as extravagant, I'm afraid.
So, at least you know what the weather's like for us all at the moment then.
I know, it's freezing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, how long have you been a Spurs fan all your life, Hayden, or what way did you become a Spurs fan?
Well, it kind of ties in with my favourite player answer. So, but I mean, I can give a clue by saying mid-90s, when I was about 5 or 6. I'm afraid I'm a bit of a youngin'. I seem to.
You should be listening to the Fighting Cock, not to us.
I came to Tottenham really with Jurgen Klinsmann's arrival.
Okay.
The original arrival, not the second time. So I'm in my early 20s. So I remember the wilderness years, as it were. So.
Yes. Yes. And was Klinsmann your favourite player then of all time?
He is, yeah, he is.
Right.
Well, it's no coincidence that as soon as he dived at Hillsborough, the knees in my my trousers at school were worn out from all the diving that me and my friends seemed to do. So
yeah, it's funny. We'd done a fan special 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all chatted about our favourite goals, and just you bringing up about Klinsmann, I actually had forgot about that. And funny, I would have to say, you know, it's one of my favourite goals, and it's a goal that, you know, you'll never forget.
How about that goal he scored against Sheffield Wednesday? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's the one we're chatting about. Yeah.
No,
the home game.
No, you mean the one with the ball played over the top?
Yeah.
And he just half volleys it, doesn't he, into the top corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant goal.
That's Sheffield Wednesday as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And his goal against Everton as well, the overhead kick.
Yeah.
With the best contribution of Stuart Nethercott ever made to Tottenham.
What's your best match, Hayden?
My favourite match. I was debating this earlier. I had several, but I've narrowed it down to one. I've narrowed it down to our game against Inter Milan in the Champions League when we won 3-1 at White Hart Lane. Because to me, that's a watershed moment. That's the moment when, after all those years, you know, of trying to get back there and trying to, you know, cement our place among, among the English elite again and in the elite in Europe, and then to be European champions on our home turf, playing them off the park, was just sensational.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely fantastic. Now, and how do you ever get to any games, Hayden? Have you been to White Hart Lane?
Oh, many a time. Yeah, many a time. I started going in the George Graham years, I think it was, the tail end of them, the Glenn Hoddle, when he picked up the reins. But I went to most of the home games last year. I've been to several this year as well, so I know it well, mate. I know it well.
Do you get to go to the Bell and Hare, or?
No, because I'm normally driving.
Oh, we're all driving, Hayden. Come and say hello, no?
Now I know you're going. Next game I've got coming up, Southampton at home. So.
Okay, well definitely let us know and say you can meet Steve. Obviously, there's Dan Jones, you know, Big Kev, all the guys that we chat about. And there's the Bell and Hare. There's also the Bill Nick pub, which I went to when I was over for the Arsenal game, and absolutely brilliant bar as well. So, and I say, you know, I think Steve, he would drive, and with Steve being that athlete, you know, doing this marathon, he's probably on the water, on the ice water.
He should be running there then.
He should be.
Well, I used to go to the corner pin. That's the one I used to go to, just outside the mega store.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And also you get the banter from the away fans queuing up outside the ground as well.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Listen, Hayden, thanks ever so much for contributing to the Virgin Money Giving page. Obviously, that's brilliant. What are you up to then? What's your job?
At the minute, I'm an administrator at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge, but I'm also a writer as well.
Yeah.
So I've written a novel, which is on Amazon.
It's called plug it, mate.
Yeah, shameless plug going on here. It's a thriller book. It's about an assassin who's trying to get out of his job as a killer, basically. But in having to do so, he has to kill the biggest criminal in the country. Wow. So there's that.
What's it called?
The Man in the Corner.
Okay.
Okay, and that's on Amazon?
It's an ebook. It's on the Kindle. Okay. I self-published it, but I've got a deal with a local publisher firm called Classic TV Press, and I'm writing the Fat Man's Army at the minute.
Okay, so fantastic.
That should be coming out soon. I do want to write a Spurs book at some point.
Yeah, you should do. You've got a celebrity name there, Hayden Gribble.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Been misspelled many a time.
Good start in life. This is Hayden Gribble.
Hayden, you've obviously heard of the Spurs poet.
You've
heard of the Spurs poet, Davey, that we have on the show every week, doing his poems. Yeah. Do you follow Davey at all on Twitter?
I have done, yes.
Yes,
listen to his stuff on the show, obviously.
Yeah, no, get on there and follow the Spurs poet on Twitter or Facebook as well, because I know Davey's quite interested in maybe getting to know guys like yourself that know about publishing, you know, maybe about, you know, doing something with his poems at some stage. So that would be good if you could maybe get in touch with them there.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I will do. Yeah, that'd be great. I must admit, I don't use Twitter often. But I do love the podcast. I find it quite therapeutic, especially after a week like we just had. I'm not alone.
Hayden, I've got to let you go, but thanks ever so much for everything you do, listening to the show and contributing everything, and we'll speak to you again, mate.
No worries. Okay, we'll do. Thanks very
much. Come to the Bell and Hare next time you're up, or send us a message, we'll meet up.
We'll do, mate. We'll do. All right,
cheers, buddy.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Bye now.
Bye.
Ah, brilliant. Proper Spurs fans, hey, Cole?
Proper Spurs fans, and look, it's been a great night. Look, if everybody listening, it's difficult for us guys. We do this over Skype, and, you know, we're trying to get everybody in. Steve's got a lot of editing that he's had to do to make the show, so fair play to him. Look, there's a couple of guys we just couldn't get through to you tonight, but look, we'll get a message out there on Facebook or on Twitter, and we'll definitely try and do more fan shows and keep this going, because I'm sure you agree, Steve, it's brilliant to hear these guys.
Ed Burson will definitely speak to you. Peter Laney will speak to you. Anybody else that wants to come on the show to speak to us, I've got a little stipulation at the moment that if you just contribute a little bit to the Virgin Money Giving page, because I'm doing the marathon, it's freezing cold, and it's not for me, obviously. It's not for any microphones or anything to do with the show. It's just to do with these disabled kids, and
brilliant.
Contribute a little bit to a charity. It would really help us out.
That's super. Here, have you got some exciting news about next week's show, hopefully?
Well, next week we've got Mickey Hazard. I've been in touch with him. He wants to come on the show again.
Brilliant.
Graham Roberts said that he's definitely up for it as well. So you never know, we might get both on at the same time. But we'll see. But I've also on a promise from Pat Jennings, he's agreed to come on the show at some point. And we've got to call Mike England back as well. He'd love to have a chat with us again at some point. Chris Perry I've spoken to, and when he's free, because he's incredibly busy at the moment, but when he's free again, I'm sure he'd like to come on the show. And if anybody else who's Spurs connected with Spurs at all and you'd like to come on the show, let us know, and we'll have a chat about our beloved Tottenham Hotspur.
So here, just quickly, Swansea this weekend, let's get back to winning ways. Big game for us, and I'm confident we'll be back in there, get Aaron Lennon back into the team and get the pace and get at them. At least Swansea are going to come out and play football against us. That's the big thing.
Yeah, we'll win this one, I reckon, Cole.
Good man. That's
but it doesn't mean, we'll win this. It doesn't mean that, we're back and, we're definitely and all this sort of rubbish. Like I said earlier on to Jason, we've got 7-8 games left. There's still a long way to go. We last season we were talking right up until the final day, and, it's going to be the same here as well. For people who want the season to be over by, the middle of January, I'm afraid it's not. The season goes all the way through, ups, downs. You go on a run of winning 3 games, drawing 4 games, this, that, and the other. We used to go on runs of not winning until about March. After Christmas. So anything could happen, and, it's all very exciting.
Yeah, it's just the joys of being a Spurs fan.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on.